Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guest who is here with me this morning, again, part of our commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council, talking this morning about ECHO, the Economic Council Helping Others. Their CEO, Nanette Pinckney, is joining us this morning via Zoom. Nanette, good morning. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. It's great to have you here. We had you on the COVID Community Information Program not too long ago to talk about some things that were going on, but this allows us to kind of get a little more in depth into all the things that ECHO does in our communities and talk a bit more about the organization. So welcome, and let's begin by talking a little bit about all the different programs that that ECHO provides.
Sure. Happy to give that update. I think most people associate ECHO with the food bank, which is obviously one of our biggest programs. So we do have, of course, the food bank located here in Farmington that serves all of San Juan County. We have multiple different types of programs through there. We have what we call our Freeze Food for Seniors program. So seniors that are 60 and older that meet income eligibility requirements are able to get those boxes once a month. One really neat thing about that is if they're already approved for SNAP or food stamps, then they're automatically eligible for that program. We also have the Emergency Assistance Program, or what we call TFAP, that is also accessible to those in San Juan County. The eligibility requirements are a lot less strict, and you can get those bags up to four times a month. And we have a crisis box for someone who may come through the line and not have the information needed to determine eligibility for one of our federally funded and state managed programs. So we do have some other boxes that we're able to provide them as well. And then we also do our backpack program through the food bank that reaches out to the schools within San Juan County and has recently expanded to also to some of the chapter houses on the Navajo Nation. So lots of really good programs there that people could be eligible for.
Right. And
I think as far as the food bank goes, as far as the programs, that's about it. We do have a couple of fundraisers and food drives coming up.
You bet. And we'll talk about those. And I'm looking forward to that. But that sure. Will be great. And I guess, can you let us know, are you seeing more of a demand for the ECHO programs these days than maybe, I don't know, pre-COVID-19, or is demand increasing for food and things like that? Are we seeing some of that in the county?
Definitely. When we look at the increase in food, we recently just did kind of a PowerPoint for some of our senators and House representatives a couple of weeks ago. And if we just look at food over the state of New Mexico between the five food banks alone, we've increased from last year almost 1,200,000 pounds of food to almost 1.8 million pounds of food. So it's increased significantly this period, this year during COVID as opposed to pre-COVID in the year before. So definitely seeing an increase in the food. And for our emergency services, when we look at the rental assistance, the utility assistance, funeral expenses, that has also increased significantly. So on an average last year, same time period, we were doing about $7,000 to $8,000 a month. We are now over $50,000 a month. So there is definitely a need out there.
Wow. I'm just increase. Letting those numbers sink in a little bit. I'll just to repeat those, you said before you were doing about $8,000 a month and now it's $50,000. Is that correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. That is correct. The numbers were very astonishing to look at. I double-checked that math quite a few times.
I bet.
It was accurate.
Yeah.
And it definitely has increased that much.
So rough math, that's roughly, what, a five-fold increase, if not more, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And yes. And the reason for all this, I mean, is it definitely going back to job loss and things like that? Or is there any way you can pin what some of this increased demand is based on? Or I know you don't really ask too many questions when folks come to see you. If they're in help, or if they need help, they get help.
Right. Well, it's definitely a direct result of COVID. I would like to think that we would be looking at different ways to expand access to food and emergency services regardless of a pandemic, but this is definitely a result of the pandemic. It's a lot of people, obviously were affected by losing their jobs, the businesses closing, they were furloughed. Maybe it was just a reduction in hours, or perhaps them or a family member were sick or had COVID and they lost work because of that. So there's many reasons, but definitely the majority of what we're seeing is directly an impact of COVID.
Got you. And I suppose, as you mentioned, it could be job losses. It could be losing some hours at work could impact a family if they don't have a big savings account or anything like that, right. Or a car repair. We've seen that happen. Or unanticipated medical bills. And if somebody is sick with COVID, and we know it's a long-term type of an illness for many, many people, that could cause a family budget to go into a mess, right?
Definitely. Unexpected medical bills, especially, if you're a minimum wage worker and you get COVID or a family member gets COVID, that's going to be such a significant impact on your finances to have that type of medical expense to have to deal with, and then still also be able to pay your rent, your utilities, get food. All of those things are going to be significantly impacted and those are the services we're here to help with.
Right. And so with those increases, Nanette Pinckney, I know that maybe Echo has then been able to get some additional revenue coming in or funds coming in from CARES Act and things like that in order to meet the increased need in the community, right? That's where you're able to do all of this from, correct?
Yes. I would say in the beginning, in the first probably 3 to 4 months, we really saw the companies and the foundations that would normally we would write a grant to, and they would look at that and decide if they wanted to fund us for what our project was. They really stepped up and they funded us early without a grant process. So that was really, really helpful. Just private donations have been extremely helpful. All of those funds are used, of course, to purchase foods and if we need equipment to keep it going. All of those funds have been extremely important. 51% of the income across all 5 food banks in the state of New Mexico is private giving. 16% is our federally funded but state managed programs. And those programs did also increase. Those funds are basically gone. We've already exhausted those funds, but those did help us with, hiring additional people to manage the volume. If we needed capital equipment to also manage that increased volume, we were able to use funds to do that as well. And then, of course, with our emergency services, we did get additional funds from the state as well. And then, of course, most recently, our partnership with San Juan County for the CARES funding that they've been able to obtain in order to assist with rental and mortgage utilities and unexpected funeral expenses as well.
Right. And that's what you've seen that big increase in, I know. And I want to talk a little bit about that, this money from the San Juan County CARES Act. And you are still able to take, I guess, applications or hand out some of these funds for emergencies?
Yes, absolutely. We do have funding. It has to be used by December 30th. And it does require proof of a COVID impact. So, again, a letter from an employer showing that they lost their job due to COVID because they had to close the business's hours reduced, therefore they had to let staff go. If they can, give us something from employer, that's typically the easiest thing and the most common.
Right.
To be honest, is, their loss of job, loss of hours, or they're just on furlough right now. We'll accept, proof of unemployment, as well, just to be able to, give us some means to be able to show that they've been impacted directly by COVID.
Got you. And, of course, these funds then are being able to be used for utilities or rent in many cases, or I guess a mortgage if someone had a mortgage and they're having a hard time meeting that obligation?
Yes, absolutely. The mortgage, the rent, utilities, and that would be any utility within San Juan County. So it could be propane, it could be, electricity, it could be water, gas, any of those. We do not, unfortunately, cover internet. It's not considered, a utility at this point. But we're doing everything we can to help with pretty much anything that we can that falls under the umbrella of those funds.
Sure. And so folks just need to call or stop by to see if they qualify or to take advantage of this, and that's the best way to do it, right?
They really just need to call because okay. of COVID and just social distancing in general. We're only doing by appointment right now.
Right.
Kind of screen them over the phone, schedule them an appointment. We are scheduling about a week out. We can only allow two people in our waiting area at a time. It's a very small area. So in order to try to keep that 6-foot social distancing in place, we have to limit how many people we can have in the building at a time. But definitely give us a call at the administrative office, and the girls up front will be happy to talk through it with you, get an appointment scheduled. And again, appointments are about a week out. Because the demand is so high, our schedules are filling up pretty quickly.
Sure. And just that phone number, I'm looking at it, I think, on the image of the poster you sent me, 325-7466?
Correct. Yes.
505-325-7466 for our radio audience who don't see that on the screen right now, but that is how you can get in touch with Echo about this particular program. And Annette, let's talk about some of the other things that Echo does in the community, because it's a lot more than just the food bank, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program. And I know there's a lot of things even during non-COVID times. And Echo's been here, oh my gosh, longer than I've been here, and that's a long time. So it certainly has a long history in the community and deep roots in providing a lot of these important services.
Definitely. Echo has been here since 1967, so I've been in the community for a very, very long time. And again, you know, food bank is what we're associated with the most. And again, it is a very, very big program here in the community. Of course, we just talked about the emergency services. We also have a preschool in Aztec, and that has remained open throughout COVID with some pretty stringent criteria, but we are open. And then, although it's not located here in San Juan County, we do have a warehouse in Albuquerque that also provides the free food for seniors. So we have 4 locations, lots of things that are going on as far as the programs that we provide. And one thing I didn't mention about our emergency services is we do also have some care kits that could be diaper kits. It could be a hygiene kit that has laundry detergent, deodorant, things that you might need for your household. So we do have a few other things here in the admin office too,
right,
for the community.
I'm looking at the list on the screen in the emergency assistance. In addition to that, the diaper kits, the hygiene kits, and even some school supplies in some cases, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
It's not so much this year,
right,
because of the changes with school, but definitely pre-COVID and hopefully post-COVID as well.
Right. And I'm familiar with the backpack program, which I know was going for a long time. And is there still parts of that that is continuing?
Definitely something that we're working on this year. We have some folks that are interested in donating to that, but we're still trying to figure out how that's going to work with the schools. You know, with school at the end of last school year, we weren't able to get the backpacks to the school because school closed, but we were able to keep it going through the community by partnering with the Boys and Girls Club, and as well as with some of the chapter houses that we're now working with out on the reservation in order to get those backpacks dispensed. So right now, it's our goal to continue that. We do have some funding for it, and we're expecting some more. We're just trying to figure out how that's going to work since schools are not in full session.
Understood. And the food bank, the whole network of food banks, I find fascinating because you all work together, especially in our state. You mentioned you have a warehouse in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. And I know you're all able to kind of, at least I think this is how it works, but you please correct me if I'm wrong. You can kind of join forces and buy in bulk and share some of the costs and lower the costs by working together to provide food throughout our state. Isn't that how it works? Maybe not. Sorry.
Not exactly.
Okay.
I mean, we all have our own contracts with the federal government and the state.
Okay. Okay.
There's a formula that they use that I'm not really sure about to determine, you know, if the federal government approves $5 million for the state of New Mexico for federally funded food programs, then it's split amongst the 5 food banks, and there's a formula that's used that they take into account the county that you serve's unemployment rate and just different things like that to determine how much of that money that you get for your particular food bank.
I see. So like most things with the government, it's a little more complicated than I thought.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. But thank you for correcting me and explaining kind of how that does work. But I know you do get food at a pretty decent rate, correct? And that's how you're able to do so much and stretch every dollar that does come in.
Sure. And that was a lot easier to do pre-COVID.
Yes.
I tell you that with COVID, supply and demand is predominant. And you know, there's been a significant increase in the cost of food. So if we just look at a case of peanut butter, that's increased in cost over 300%. So a case that might have cost us around $6 a case is closer to $18 a case. So it's a lot of the foods that we've purchased, and this is not just locally for us, it's across the state with all food banks. The most common things that we would purchase for our food boxes has definitely increased in cost. So our private donations are not stretching quite as far as they were before.
Understood. And before we move on and talk a little bit about this the food drive that's coming up for the holidays, I want to ask you a little bit more about the preschool in sure. in Aztec, because as you mentioned, that has remained open and providing that really important service, because again, I know there are a lot of families that that maybe need to go to work and they just can't stay home and watch the kids as much as they would love to, and they need to have this safe and important place to take their kids to. And that's what the Aztec preschool has been doing, correct?
Definitely. I have to tell you, though, it's when COVID first hit and when the first stay-at-home order went into place, we were impacted heavily. We went from about 46 kiddos a day to 3 to 4 a day. And wow. That was when it was just essential only workers. And then in June, that increased to both essential and non-essential. So of course we thought, okay, this is great. We're going to go back to normal. But there are CYFD regulations, because we're state regulated, that we have to follow. So our capacity has been reduced to 50%. So we can only have about 31 kiddos at a time with an appropriate and state guided mix of teachers and kids in a classroom. So we've been very fortunate to be able to stay open, but,
right.
You know, we're working at that and facing that 50% reduction in capacity with expenses that stay the same and revenue that's decreased by almost 50%. So, but the good thing is, again, we've been able to stay open, and we do have a waiting list going right now, so that if, you know, anyone is looking for a daycare or a preschool, then you can definitely reach out to us and get on a waiting list, and hopefully it'll move pretty quickly, and hopefully those restrictions will be lifted soon and we can start accepting more kiddos.
Understood. And of course, that's not just you that's having to deal with that with your preschool. It's every preschool in the state is working under these same things, right? The same rules?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and different preschools are going to be licensed for a different amount of children. A lot of that's based on the square footage of the building. So if we had more square footage, we could maybe be licensed for more kiddos and we can increase that capacity, but we're pretty limited. So, and all preschools are state regulated are going to be under similar guidelines. And is going to be determined on their licensing and number of children they can take to under normal circumstances.
Very good. Well, now let's talk a little bit about this food drive challenge that is coming up, the 11th annual. And it looks like it is most of the cities in the county, including San Juan County government, and there are kind of bragging rights that go along with this, I think, every year, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. it looks like Bloomfield, I think, is the current Mr. Potato Head holder at this point. So whoever
okay.
collects the most in pounds gets to hold the coveted Mr. Potato Head award.
Very nice. Very cool. So again, for the audience to understand what we're talking about, this is a food drive, and the cities of Farmington, Aztec, and Bloomfield, and San Juan County are all asking their employees to donate food to benefit Echo Food Bank. And the winner gets these bragging rights and the coveted Mr. Potato Head to display.
That's correct. And I believe that Kirtland is also involved in that.
Kirtland's there too. Good. Okay. So that's it. Yes. All the cities in San Juan County. So that's important. And so can the public get involved with this too, or is it just the governments?
Oh, as far as I know, and this is my first year with this, so I'm just in my first year here, so this will be the first time I get to participate in this, but as far as I know, the community can definitely be involved in it. They can take donations to either to any of the cities to wherever they have their drops at. And if they want to make cash donations, they're also able to do that as well.
Okay. So you've got barrels set out at the different locations, the different cities. And so folks can go and donate, and that will help their city get counted, right, or increase their numbers.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Very good. And so we're showing a little bit on the screen right now of some of the things that are most needed. And so can you kind of just run through that for us, just a little bit of the things that really do go far in what, some of these food boxes and what really sure. has the most bang for the buck kind of thing?
Sure. I think, you know, obviously anything that's going to be considered shelf stable. So anything that you don't have to refrigerate is great, because you're putting them in a barrel. So you want to make sure that they're not going to spoil between now and the time of the weigh-in on November 19th. So peanut butter, boxed potatoes, boxed meals, you know, like hamburger helper, canned meats like chicken or beef, canned soups, anything like that. And of course, with the holidays coming up, anything that you would normally make with your normal holiday. So stuffing mixes, cranberry sauce, yams, canned vegetables, anything like that. Anything that you would do normally with your own Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay. So when we're out shopping, maybe just throw another extra can or two or five in the cart and drop it off in one of those bins.
Definitely.
I'm seeing canned tuna and chicken. I know that's a big deal too, right? Because that can be an yes. easy lunch. Mm-hmm. That's easy to do. And so, as you mentioned, so this contest basically is going now through basically November 19th. And that's when these barrels will be collected, and then you're going to weigh them and determine the winner. And that's kind of how that works. You just do it by weight, not by volume, I suppose.
Right. It'll be by weight. They'll bring all of that to the food bank. And on November 19th, and I think 11:30 on the 19th is when we're going to do the weigh-in and see who the new winner is.
Right. Very exciting. Well, I know all the governments are very excited about this. And like I said, there are bragging rights, and we hear about it for weeks afterwards as to who won the Echo Food Bank Challenge. So that's really important, I know. And there's one other event that's coming up, and you sent me a poster. I didn't get a chance to get it ready to put on the air this morning, but we can certainly talk about it in at Pinckney, and that is the annual Stuff the Bus event. And it is put on with another radio station group in town, but it's a great, event for folks to be able to donate food and help our friends and neighbors in the community. And it's happening at Albertsons on November 21st, right?
That's correct. From 10 to 3 on Saturday, November 21st, we'll be doing the Stuff the Bus. And all of the same things that we just talked about for the county food drive are the same things that will be accepted as well. And we will, I think also Albertsons is going to have a bag that you could just purchase at checkout. We think it's going to be around $15. Or you can just, you know, just buy some things and drop them off on your way out. So either way. We'll all be there from 10 to 3 that day, and it is, from what I understand, that is historically our second largest, actually, it was the San Juan County Food Drive is our second largest food drive.
Oh, nice. Right.
Here in the county. So, and Stuff the Bus is going to run in really close with that. So.
Okay, very good. And again, it's coming up on Saturday, November 21st in the Albertsons parking lot. It's a giant bus. You can't miss it, right, if you're driving around town. And there'll be a way to donate safely, of course. And we shout out to American General Media and Freight Direct Furniture are the two organizing sponsors, along with the Echo Food Bank, to make this happen. And it's right before the holidays, of course, so that's what you're asking for, some of those holiday foodstuffs, right? Like the gravy mix and canned pumpkin and chicken broth and some of the canned fruit, those types of things that'll last as well.
Yes, absolutely. Those are great items and all fall in with the whole holiday food boxes that we'll be working on very soon.
Very good. The other thing I'm looking at too, cereals and rice and pasta. Those are other things that would last a while and can really help a family.
Definitely.
Very good. Well, Nanette, I really appreciate your time this morning of speaking with me and reminding us about all the great things that Echo does in the community and has been doing it for, gosh, more than 40 years, I think, if my math is right.
So it would be 53 years.
53, holy smokes. Very good. Well, it's been here for a long time, but the need is great, and we're so glad that you all are continuing to meet the needs in the community, even during this strange time during the pandemic. So thank you for joining me this morning, and we appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much. That's Annette Pinckney, everyone. She is the CEO from Echo Food Bank and Echo Incorporated, the Economic Council Helping Others, part of KSJE's monthly commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council. And I'll be back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is coming up on 8:39. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.